have Senator Mark Ridley Thomas lead us in prayer, since it's about that time normally on a Sunday. Anyway, thank you all for being here. And
God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us safe thus far along the way.
We do need a few prayers. I don't think we're going to do any hymns or hums, but we are ready to go.
We've done it now.
So we could take the role of the appropriations committee.
Senator Cox in his hour of need.
Well, we're short one, so we're going to wait a moment. We'll let the author on our one bill proceed, and we are here on Senate Bill 191. Senator Padilla has a bill on labor compliance rules.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This bill is intended to help address the enforcement situation when it comes to prevailing wage laws on public works projects in the state of California. As you're all far too familiar with, the Department of Industrial Relations has very limited staff, only about 24 staff, to ensure compliance of these labor laws for all the public works projects in the state, far short of what is really needed. So this bill would create a state public works enforcement fund that would provide the resources necessary to expand enforcement. The bill seeks to impose a fee of up to 0.25% on funds derived from the K through University Public Education Facilities Bond Act of 2006, other educational bonds, as well as the High Speed Rail Act that's on this November ballot. The bill is written so that the funds collected are deposited into a fund account, which can be used only for purposes of enforcing prevailing wage and apprenticeship requirements on projects. Criterion standards would be determined by the Department of Industrial Relations jointly with the State Allocation Board, and I think this is also consistent with recommendations from the LAO of last year that said, as opposed to increasing resources for the contracting out at the local level for labor compliance, truly we need to expand the capacity of the department to do so. That's what we've done here. I ask for a vote. Let me introduce Jay Hansen from the State Building Trade sponsor of the bill.
Great. Thank you. Before Mr. Hansen proceeds, we will establish the quorum and take the roll call. Madam Secretary, please take the roll.
Ferguson?
Here.
Ferguson here. Cox?
Here.
Cox here. Onestad?
Here.
Onestad here. Ashburn?
Present.
Ashburn here. Cedillo? Corbett?
Here.
Corbett here. Dutton?
Here.
Dutton here. Flores?
Here.
Flores here. Kuehl?
Here.
Kuehl here. Oropeza?
Here.
Oropeza here. Ridley Thomas? Ridley Thomas here. Runner? Simidian?
No.
Wyland?
Yee?
Quorum's established. We're having Spanish lessons over here to the side. Vámonos, muchachos. Adelante. Okay.
Buenos dias, Mr. Chair, members. we have a very innovative bill. We're very excited to partner with the AGC on this piece of legislation. Really, what we're establishing is a user pays system. We've brought together not just the union community and the contractor community, but the non-union contractor community as well. All see the benefit of this type of a user pay system. Right now, labor compliance programs are required on the education bonds that were passed in 2004. And I'd like to also note for the committee that in 2003, Labor Code Section 1771.9 established labor compliance requirement for the high-speed rail bond that's going to be on the ballot this November. So that is already required. Right now, the CSU is also supporting this bill because they spend 2%, up to 2% of their construction costs. They do a set-aside for labor compliance programs. That's a tremendous amount of money. This bill wisely caps that at up to 0.25%. We think that it'll be much lower than that. You don't really need a lot of money for DIR to run these programs. They'll be done more efficiently, more effectively. They should be done by the state. They'll be done fairly across the board, across the union, non-union sector. That's why we've got a broad-based support on this that goes across all that sector. We believe that this significantly lowers the cost. If it was a 2% fee, that could be up to 8 times higher than what this bill caps it at. So we think this is a significant cost savings. So we appreciate your time and ask for your aye vote.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, Dave Ackerman representing the Associated General Contractors. It's rare when the building trades and AGC join each other at the table on a piece of legislation, but this is a significant in this case. This all started with the Legislative Analyst Report, Mr. Chairman, back in 2007, when they pointed out the literally the very poor cost benefit from conducting labor compliance programs the way we do them today, and suggested putting more effort into having DIR do labor compliance, supervising, and do it itself. This bill, as Mr. Hansen stated, levies a 0.25% fee, which is significantly lower than the current costs that come out of the bond acts for labor compliance. We think it would be much more cost efficient. It will accomplish the same, if not better, objectives, and have the state do labor compliance where the state currently is obligated by law to do labor compliance. That's what DIR, Department of Industrial Relations, is established for. That's what they do, and we think this will be the most cost-efficient way to do it. They haven't had the general fund resources to be able to do this. That's why we've had the third-party labor compliance at the local level, and this will be much more cost-effective.
Thank you, Mr. Ackerman. I think we have two comments from two senators, a question from Senator Cox, or a comment, and then Senator Dutton.
I have three questions. I guess the first question is, why don't we just eliminate the labor compliance altogether?
That's not a budget negotiation item now, is it?
We could make it that.
Well, it does seem to me that this bill just changes where the money comes from. It moves it from one pocket to another pocket. One pocket is the general fund. The other fund is the bond proceeds, which was in fact voted on by the people of the state of California. I don't think had any discussion about paying for the cost of labor compliance. So there's no efficiency, there's no greater efficiency, there's no greater effectiveness. I've asked you about why don't we just eliminate the labor compliance. But I believe you acknowledge it's just moving it from one pocket to another pocket.
I think as opposed to arguing where the funding is coming from to assure labor compliance, this bill is more geared towards who's conducting those labor compliance activities. As the LEO report points out, and it's in the analysis, about 80% of labor compliance is done by local school districts, and the vast majority of that is contracted out to third-party providers. Everybody agrees it's DIR that should be first and foremost on labor compliance. That's what we're trying to achieve here by addressing the resource question. I don't think we're having a debate as to whether or not we should have labor compliance efforts on behalf of the state. If that's where you're going, Senator Cox, I think this bill is geared towards how we best can assure the enforcement of our labor laws.
Senator Dutton.
Within the 2006 Ed Bond Act, the issue of labor compliance agreement actually was a major issue and discussion. Whether it be, no matter what the cost, that bond specifically was not supposed to be subject to the, or at least the cost of which, wasn't supposed to be included in that bond. So isn't that kind of going against what was represented to the voters at the time they approved the bond? I mean, I don't care how much you're going to charge for it or where it comes from. If it's included within the bonds, it seems like that's not exactly what was agreed to or what was submitted to the voters.
I wasn't here in 2006, but I would argue that quality workmanship in all of these public works projects are part of assuring the public that they get the best value for their dollar.
Are you familiar with the problems that they've been having with the BOE building?
No, but I'm sure you're about to enlighten me.
Yeah, we got three stories. It's on, they got some problems. We've also had some issues with some of our facilities regarding veterans homes, things like this, which have all been done. So I'm not so sure I would make the argument that union, non-union is going to give you better quality. But I'm not so sure labor compliance necessarily fits in with that definition. But even with that, taking a look at the LEO report, too, it also indicates that labor compliance agreements, frankly, with the dollars that are being supposedly retrieved, the cost associated with going after those dollars is like, you know, been 18 to 20 to 1. Even at a lower amount here, it still doesn't seem like, I'm not sure what the net benefit is. So
I think the presence of enforcement keeps a whole lot of contractors honest.
Okay.
That's the benefit.
Thank you. Thank you. Other witnesses in support, please. Then we'll hear from opposition. We'll hear from Department of Finance. They're here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeremy Smith here on behalf of the California Labor Federation. It's clear the prevailing wage has led to middle-class livelihoods for all the workers that get it, and we're always supportive of better compliance and better enforcement. Thanks.
Thank you.
Liberty Sanchez on behalf of the Teamsters for the reasons previously stated, also in support.
Mr. Chairman, members, Richard Marcus and Western Electrical Contractors Association. Aside from the policy debate, we think that this bill sets up a better standard for enforcement than current law provides. That's why we support it.
Thank you.
Martha Guzman, California Rural Legal Assistance Foundation. This is a very innovative, sustainable, and consistent enforcement compliance program, and we support it.
Thank you. Opposed? Mr. Silva.
Good morning. I'm Ernie Silva. I'm here on behalf of the Small School Districts Association, the County School Facilities Consortia, the Coalition for Adequate School Housing, the Association of California Construction Managers, the Association of Labor Compliance Professionals, and I've also been authorized by the California School Boards Association, the Association of California School Administrators, to let you know that we still oppose this version of the bill. Some of my organizations were in support of the bill up until August 20th. The issue is that what this bill does is fund state operations from education facility bonds. This is the kind of thing that should have gone through the budget process. The other piece of the bill, the fine print, is that what this bill does is continue that funding mechanism in perpetuity. It's not limited to Prop 1D, and we all think we should fix the problems with Prop 1D, but it does is it goes into any future facility bond. So our concerns are that this is that is funding an agency that's general operations of a state agency that should be done through the regular budget process and not through a tax on the school facility bonds. That's the sum and substance. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Dennis Loper for Keenan Associates, large labor compliance insurer of school districts. We agree with Mr. Silva's comments and oppose the bill.
Great. Thank you. Okay. I think the author has made a point, and we'll hear on any close you'd like to make, that
sure.
This is going to be more efficient overall than the spending currently.
This is the last day of session, so...
We're to a vote. Yes.
I think just in response to the opposition, I think we've built in that flexibility by using the words up to 0.25%. We're not requiring the 0.25%. So if the finding is made that a lower amount would suffice, then the flexibility is there. And finally, I just want to say this is modeled after successful programs in Nevada and New York. Ask for your aye vote.
Great. There is a motion by Senator Kuehl. Open the roll.
Torlakson?
Aye.
Torlakson, aye. Cox?
No.
Cox, no. Onestad?
No.
Onestad, no. Ashburn?
No.
Ashburn, no. Cedillo?
Aye.
Cedillo, aye. Corbett?
Aye.
Corbett, aye. Dutton?
No.
Dutton, no. Flores?
Aye.
Flores, aye. Kuehl?
Aye.
Kuehl, aye. Oropeza?
Aye.
Oropeza, aye. Ridley Thomas? Runner? Samidian?
Aye.
Samidian, aye. Weiland? Yee? Yee, aye.
8-4.
8-4. The measure's out. Thank you, Senator Padilla. Thank you, witnesses. That's it. Back to...